This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Everybody, welcome to a juz a day. We are today starting our 18th juz, alhamdulillah. The 18th juz of the Quran begins with surah number 23, surah Al-Mu'minun, ayah number 1, and ends with surah Furqan, surah 25, ayah number 20. So that includes all of surah number 23, all of surah number 24, surah An-Nur, and a part of surah 25, surah Al-Furqan. This is what we have in this juz. Let's start with surah Al-Mu'minun. Al-Mu'minun means the believers. What is the main theme? What is the main idea of the surah? The main idea of the surah is captured by the very first ayah. Let's look at that right now, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, qad aflaha al-mu'minun. Successful indeed are the believers. Alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un. Those who are humble in their prayer. This is the main concept of the surah, to show that believers are truly successful. That their success is something that Allah has attested to. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. There's no doubt left whatsoever about that. And their success is not maybe how success is viewed by others. Their success is defined as such. They are the ones who are humble in their prayer. خَاشِعُونَ. From the root word khasha'a, which means for something to be to be lowered, or something like the barren earth is called watara al-arda khashi'a. That is what the Quran calls, the same word is used. The idea being the barren earth is very lowly. There's very little movement there in a barren earth compared to like a fertile land. There's a lot of movement. There's plants, there's animals, all that stuff. So the prayer, the person who's praying, they are, you know, this in the state of stillness when they're praying physically, and their heart is in the state of serenity as they are praying. Alladhina fi salatihim khashi'un. That's the measure of success. Walladhina hum 'anil laghwi mu'ridun. They are those who turn away from all that is frivolous. Al laghu is things that are useless, things that are distracting. It is something that takes you away from the task that you're focused on. That is a lagu. So these people, they turn away from the frivolous, the distraction, and then turn towards what's important. What an excellent measure of success that is, in both this world and the next. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاتِ فَاعِلُونَ. Those who pay the zakat. Another translation, this is one translation of it, but لِلزَّكَاتِ فَاعِلُونَ actually alludes to that perhaps here zakat is not meant in the monetary sense, but zakat here is more referenced as zakatu nafs, like purifying the soul. Like if you see here, this Arabic tafsir says وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُطَهِّرُونَ لِنُفُوسِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ بِأَدَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ أَمْوَالِهِمْ عَلَى اخْتِلَافِ أَجْنَاسِهَا. Right, they say that this is they're purifying themselves by paying zakat, and purifying their wealth by paying zakat. So this is that concept. They pay the zakat and they purify themselves. They are the ones who safeguard their chastity. They are the ones who safeguard their chastity except with their wives and whom their right hands possess. But then they are free from blame. And whoever seeks to go beyond that, they are indeed the al-'adun, the transgressors. So this speaks about promiscuity. These people are not promiscuous. They have relationships within what Islam defines as permissible ways to build families and whatnot. Okay? And they don't seek intimacy outside of those things. They are the ones who are faithful to their trusts. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. Faithful to their trusts and promises. When they give their word, they keep their word. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Those who attend to their prayers. They're protective of the times of the prayer. Here in the beginning, it says, "Fi salatihim khashi'un." In the prayer, this is how they are: humble, still, serene. When it comes to ala salawatihim, this is about the timings of the prayer. Very particular about the timing of the prayer, making sure that they pray on time within the window that the prayer is supposed to be prayed in. Ulaika humul warithun. These are the heirs of paradise. Alladhina yarithun al-firdausa hum fiha khalidun. They shall abide therein forever. Al-firdaus is actually the highest level of paradise. There are levels to paradise. Okay? And the highest level of paradise is called al-firdaus. And this is, you know, expansive. Al-firdaus is not like restricted. You can have, you know, the whole community of believers in Al-Firdaus. That's how expansive it is. But the idea here is these people are going to get the highest level of paradise, not just any place in paradise. That's an amazing measure of success. That, brothers and sisters, is the criteria of success. Our commitment to our prayer, our dedication to serving others, our commitment to our emotional and our mental health, in the sense of we're removing distractions, we're able to focus on what's important, our dedication to our families, our spouses, making sure that we're intimate only in that sense and not outside of those, our commitment to our word, which is our bond, okay? All of these are a measure of success, and the way it is, and the final result of it, the place you get success is in the highest level of paradise. What Allah says about it also, yadithuna, they inherit. It's like their God-given right to inherit paradise. Because, not that it's our right to inherit paradise, it's by the mercy of Allah. But Allah uses this word to show that's how deserving they are of paradise. It's as if it's like their right. Like inheritance is their right. That's how deserving they are of entering paradise. May Allah make us of these people. Such a beautiful description of the believers. And this is all, these are all open-ended terms. Not open-ended, sorry. These are all, the description here is not of a person or like a group of people. This could apply to anybody at any time, at any place. So we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of these people as well. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينَ. Allah describes a sign for the believers, the process of creation. We created man from an essence of clay. This is talking about Adam. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. Then we made him as a drop of fluid in a safe space. This is talking about the rest of us. You know, we were conceived in the wombs of our mother. ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً. Then we developed that drop into a clinging form. Alaqa. It's like a little, alaqa. It's like a piece of flesh that's like hanging on to something. It's so small and tiny. فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً. We developed that form into a lump of flesh. Now it's like a lump of flesh. فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا. And then we developed that lump into bones. فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا. And then clothed the bones with flesh. How nice is this expression? كَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا. Because the flesh is literally clothed on and intertwined with the bones, just like clothes are on your body, and covering you, right? So that's a nice expression there. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخر. Then we brought him into being as a new creation. This is actually a very beautiful description of how the fetus develops. The fetus is goes through many stages, but it attains like a fully formed version with bones and flesh, but it's a very tiny, minuscule version. And then it grows in the fetus or in the womb of the mother. The fetus grows in the womb of the mother, and then that little thing, it's like it's just magnified. And that is perhaps what this ayah is referring to, and how precise that is when it comes to the embryo and the embryology of the fetus, how precise the Quran is about that. Fatabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqin. So glory be to God, the best of creators, right? He's the best of creators, and his book is the best of speech. ثم إنكم بعد ذلك لميتون, and after this you shall surely die, and then after this you will be raised up on the day of resurrection for sure. The creation and resurrection, as you notice, they come together. Allah tells us about the creation to remind us of the resurrection. He brought you to the world, He can bring you back to life after you have died. And this is a very important understanding for us to have. Now, the surah proceeds to talk about more signs for the believers. Seven paths above you, right? This is a reference to the sky and how expansive and vast it is. And how there is water that Allah sends down in due measure, lodged it in the earth. فَاسْكَنَّهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So we can benefit from it. But if we please, we have the power to take it away, right? Blessings of Allah can be lost. فَأَنْشَأْنَا لَكُمْ بِهِ جَنَّاتٍ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ لَكُمْ فِيهَا فَوَاكِهُ كَثِيرَةٌ وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ. We have produced palm groves and vineyards for you, right? A variety of fruits and vegetations that grows, all of these, وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ, so that we can eat and enjoy. A special tree that grows on Mount Sinai, the olive tree, produces oil. It's used as a condiment. It's a very fantastic thing. How many people around the world eat olives and consume olive oil, right? It's a lot of people. And إِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةٌ. You have a lesson in livestock. By the way, the olives were not native to the Arabians of the Arabian Peninsula, but it's a reference to the niceness of this fruit or this plant that it's mentioned in the Quran. Okay, you have a lesson in livestock. We provide you with drink from what is in their bellies, and you have many other benefits from them, and some of them you eat. How the animals? It's like such a great blessing. We have meat that we consume from it. We use the milk to make all sorts of dairy products. We use the bones, and the bones are used also in, like, we consume the bones as well, like broths and whatnot. We use the skin. Almost everything about the animal we use, and we are benefiting from it. And also some animals are used for riding. Such a beautiful sign, such a variety of blessings, Allah reminds us. These are all signs for the believers. These are all signs for the believers so that they can be grateful and submitting to their Lord. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes through a history lesson. He's going to mention a few prophets. Starts with Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam's story is a sign for the believers, and a sign that the believers at the end of the day will be successful, even if in this world it seemed like they were going to be losers. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَى قَوْمِهِ فَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. We sent Noah to his people, and he said, "My people, worship God. You have no other deity except Him. Will you not fear Him?" And of course, the leaders, the people who are powerful, the people who had influence, they denied the truth. They said, "He is only a human being like yourselves. يُرِيدُ أَن يَتَفَضَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ. He wants to be superior to you. He wants power. He wants influence. That's why he's preaching what he's preaching, right? And if really God wanted to send revelation, he would have sent down an angel. أَنزَلَ مَلَائِكَ. It would have been an angel, not this man. We want something like something special, not just another human being like us. And this is something we've never heard of before, right? So this is just bizarre. Okay, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا رَجُلٌ. He's only a madman. بِهِ جِنَّةٌ فَتَرَبَّصُوا بِهِ حَتَّى حِينٍ. So just wait a while. This thing is going to pass. It's like a passing fad. Okay, Nuh alayhi salam said, "Oh my Lord, help me. They have rejected me." Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him to build the ark under Allah's watchful eyes. And then the same thing as mentioned before about how take two from each pair of animals, whatever you can find, and your family, except those who have not believed. Okay, innahum muqraqun. When you are established on the ship, say alhamdulillahi alladhi najjana min alqawmi adh-dhalimin. Say praise be to God who has delivered us from a wicked people. A beautiful dua, a beautiful idea to make dua to thank Allah after a blessing has been attained, after a crisis has been averted. And this is something we should make a habit of, saying alhamdulillah, all praises for Allah. Alhamdulillah, all praises for Allah. More and more to remind ourselves of Allah's blessings and favors upon us. وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَنزِلْنِي مُنزَلًا مُبَارَكًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْمُنزِلِينَ. Lord, let me land with your blessing in a blessed landing place. You alone can provide the best landings. A very beautiful dua when you're sailing, right? If you're out, you know, on the boat, have a canoe or something, right? And you're struggling, and you're like, I don't know where's this gonna take me. رَبِّ أَنزِلْنِي مُنزَلًا مُبَارَكًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْمُنزِلِينَ. From Nuh alayhi salam, we learned the dua, Bismillahi majriha wa mursaha. And now also, that's when you're departing, and the dua when you're trying to, you know, dock ashore somewhere. Okay. Allah says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ. Surely these are clear signs. Or surely there are clear signs in that story. In this way, we put people to the test. Right? This life was a test. These people failed it. Allah saved those who passed it. And this is how the believers are successful. And then came the next generation. Now an anonymous prophet is mentioned. فَأَرْسَلْنَا فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. This could be any prophet, anywhere in the world. But subhanAllah, it's like a story that repeats itself. This is the case with so many prophets. You could just make it into like an anonymous story, and it can fit any prophet from any time, because unfortunately, that's the nature of people. That's what they did to the people who came to them, calling them, inviting them to Allah, not asking them for money or anything. This is unfortunately the evil we see historically from people. And this is a sign, this is a moment of it's a sobering reality that we have to come to grips with, excuse me. فَأَرْسَلْنَا فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. Again, a messenger was sent saying the same thing. Worship God alone. You have no deity other than Him. Okay. Same thing. Al-Mala, the leaders. And I say same thing. I'm not saying the surah is like the Quran is being repetitive. I'm just saying historically, this is just what people would do again and again and again. It's frustrating to see that, right? In the sense that people don't take heed. People don't take heed. Here, Al-Mala denied the truth. They denied the truth. They didn't want to follow the Prophet. وَأَتْرَفْنَاهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. A reason Allah gives why they're not interested. We had granted them ease and plenty in their worldly life. So they had no reason to change. They had no motivation to look for salvation. They were happy with what they had. And so happy that they wouldn't want to lose any of it. They wouldn't want to lose any of their influence. So then they said, "In ma hadha illa basharun mithlukum." This is only a human being like you. Ya'kulu mimma ta'kuluna minhu wa yashrabu mimma tashrabun. Look, he's eating and drinking just like you. And if you were to follow a human being, you're going to be a loser. What's the big deal about this guy? He's just a human. He's going to tell you that you will come back to life, right? After you've died, when you have become dust and bones, you will be brought back to life again. Hayhata, hayhata lima tu'adun. What a far-fetched proposition that is. How that is so improbable. To be the point, it's like impossible. Hayhata, hayhata. In hiya illa hayatuna dunya. This life is the only life. There is no other life. Namutu wa nahya wa ma nahnu bi mab'uthin. We die and we live, and we shall not be raised up again. Sounds like an atheist here, actually. That's what they're saying. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا رَجُلٌ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا وَمَا نَحْنُ لَهُ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. You see, the atheist thinks they're like fresh with new ideas and new ideologies, and they're super advanced. But the people of the past said the same thing. They said the same things, okay? It's as a statement or as a tale as ancient as time itself. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا رَجُلٌ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. He is only a man who has invented a lie about God, and we are not going to believe him. The Prophet made dua, and of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, proceeded to save the Prophet and punish those. فَبُعْدًا لِقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. The wicked people were punished. And then this continued. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ قُرُونًا آخَرِينَ. Generations came afterwards. And unfortunately, right? كلما جاء أمة رسولها كذبوه. Every time their messenger came to a people, they rejected him. Right? Allah sent messengers in succession, and every time a messenger came, that messenger was rejected. فَأَتْبَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ بَعْضًا وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَحَادِيثَ. So we destroyed them one after the other and let them become mere tales. فَبُعْدًا لِقَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And this is indeed a lesson for us. Away with the people who do not believe. Then Allah mentions Musa and Harun, right? And of course, when Musa and Harun were denied by Fir'aun, they were rejected. The Fir'aun was rejected, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Moses alayhi salam and his people. Musa alayhi salam was given the book so that they might be rightly guided. وَجَعَلْنَا بْنَ مَرْيَمَ وَأُمَّهُ آيَةً. He said, we made the son of Mary and his mother a sign, an ayah, a miraculous sign. وَآوَيْنَاهُمَا إِلَىٰ رَبِوَىٰ. And we gave them shelter on a peaceful hillside watered by a fresh spring. Right? They were, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, provided for them. And they were, like we mentioned before, a miraculous sign and a source of mercy, as mentioned previously in other parts of the Quran. Ya ayyuha rusul, O messengers, eat what is wholesome and do good deeds. Kulu min at-tayyibat wa'amadu salih. Success as a believer, we look at our prophets. Success is not you have abandoned the world and now you are just praying constantly. Success isn't like a disbalanced life. Success has, you know, parameters. Kulu min at-tayyibat, enjoy what's good. Eat what is wholesome. Eat what is good is a expression for enjoy the goodness of this life. Okay? Wa'amalu salihan, but your life has a purpose, which is to do lots and lots of good deeds and doing as much as you can. And those good deeds were listed in the beginning of the surah. Yes. Types of character or types of good deeds. You do that, you will attain happiness in this world because you're enjoying it in a good way. And you will attain the highest level of happiness and satisfaction in the next life. Inni bima ta'amaluna alim, I am well aware of what you do. وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. Your religion is but one religion all throughout the time. Everybody who was a believer in Allah and a prophet that Allah sent, all of us are the same religion. We followed different prophets, right? The people who Musa was sent to, they followed Musa alayhi salam, for example. But our deen, the religion is the same. The core of it is the same, it's common throughout time. Because وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ, and I am your Lord, so therefore fear me. That's what's common about us, that we worship Allah alone and follow the Prophet. Whatever name that Prophet gives Allah, because whatever language they speak, the name that is given to Allah is different. But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one true almighty God, the inexhaustible source of power, the one who picks and sends messengers. All of us who believed in that were one religion. And subhanAllah, it's a beautiful feeling to be part of this massive family. But people are people. فَتَقَطَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُم زُبُرًا. This, you know, the reason why I mentioned this is because sometimes people get turned off about Islam by the actions of other people, right? And, you know, it's a tough thing. You don't want, you know, you want people to live up to the morals of the faith they profess. Yes, of course we do. But the Quran reminds us people are flawed. People will make mistakes. People will do things that are unacceptable, immoral. That does not make the scripture immoral. That doesn't make the scripture unacceptable. Sorry, I'm laughing at my daughter. This is the idea. And, you know, I read this thing, but one brother tweeted this. He's like, you know, look, Isa alayhi salam's disciples gave him away, and Musa alayhi salam's followers hurt him, right, by saying inappropriate things to him. And the Prophet salam was hurt by the ones who were very close to him, in the sense of they were part of the community. The hypocrites were part of the community. They were enemies from within. They were not like enemies external. External enemies are easy to point out and easy to spot. Enemies from within undermined him and hurt him. Yusuf al-Islam was betrayed by his brothers. This is how people are, and we shouldn't let people's mistakes, errors, and evilness deter us from finding our purpose in life, which is to worship Allah alone, and which is to follow His Messenger and all of His Messengers. Peace be upon them all. فَتَقَطَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ زُبُرًا. They divided themselves into factions, each rejoicing. كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Each faction happy with what they had, right? They broke up the religion into groups, and each group is really happy. Like, yeah, we're on the right path. But Allah says, فَذَرْهُمْ فِي غَبْرَتِهِمْ. Let them, leave them, and that's that. Okay. Instead, we should focus on إِنَّ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. Becoming more like a true believer. More like a true believer. Focus on that. Focus on the attributes of true believers. Don't get into petty, like, wars, sectarian wars, trying to do this or that. You focus on becoming a better person. Like someone who trembles with the fear of their Lord. What an incredible description of a person who does that. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ. They believe in the message or the signs of their Lord, right? The signs in the book and outside the book. They are the ones who ascribe no partners with Him. They are the ones who يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا. Those who give to others what has been bestowed upon them. They give charity. Allah has given them, so they give to others. And while they're giving, they're not like all like, you know, full of themselves and be like, look, I'm so special. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. Their hearts are trembling at the thought that they must return to their Lord, subhanAllah. As they're giving charity to help someone, they are considering that one day I will be asked about what I did. And this I'm doing, I hope, will be help me on that day. That's the attitude of the believer. When they give charity, they're like, I hope this is going to be my salvation in the next life, or a reason for my salvation in the next life. This will be Allah, maybe because of this charity, Allah forgives my sins and saves me from punishment. Maybe because of this, Allah will have mercy on me. They think they're helping themselves, not helping the person they're giving money to. That is the true attitude of the Muslim donor, the Muslim philanthropist. They are doing it, and in their minds they're doing it thinking that the one who truly is needy and being helped is me, the one who's giving the charity. أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. When you have this incredible attitude, you are going to be, you know, vying, competing to do good deeds. وَهُمْ لَهَا سَابِقُونَ. And of course, when you do that, you are going to be the foremost. If you're focused on it, you are going to attain it and achieve it. The deen is not meant to overpower us. وَلَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَعَهَا. We charge no soul with more than it can bear. Okay? There's exceptions, there is nuance, there is ease. All of this is made so that the religion does not become overpowering. And the morals of the religion don't get lost. Right? You don't lose the forest for the trees. لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَعَهَا. The morals are important. The characteristics of the believer are important. We don't forget about attaining those. The Prophet ﷺ is mentioned, there is a very interesting a passage that's very interesting that speaks about the Prophet ﷺ. أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. Do they not recognize their messenger? So they deny him. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ بِهِ جِنَّ. Do they say that he is possessed? Rather, he has brought them the truth, but most of them are averse to the truth, right? Why are they denying the Prophet ﷺ? Do they not recognize that he is a man full of virtue, the best type of virtue, the most truthful, the most honest? And these are titles that you gave him, and now you reject him. So is that like, is he like an unknown figure, or do you say that he is possessed? So he's acting this way and doing these things. The reality is none of those is true. You know exactly who he is. You know exactly he's the best person that is in your city. You know exactly he's not possessed. You know that he is not making this up. But the real reason is he has brought you something that you don't like. You're averse to it. And now you're finding excuses and reasons to be able to reject him. And Allah says something, if the truth had followed their whims and desires, heavens and earth and all that lives in them would be brought to ruin. بَلْ أَتَيْنَاهُمْ بِذِكْرِهِمْ فَهُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِهِمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. You know, we brought them a reminder, yet they keep avoiding it. They keep, you know, like sidestepping it, not trying to not face up to the reality that they're missing out on believing in the Prophet ﷺ. أَمْ تَسْأَلُهُمْ خَرْجًا. Are you asking them for money, O Prophet? You're not asking any money from them. فَقَرَاجُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ. Because the reward of your Lord is the best, and He is the best of the providers. What's the reason why they're not believing you? It's not money. It's not that you have bad character. It's not that you're an evil person. It's not that something is wrong with you. The real reason is they don't like what you're saying. They don't like what you want them to become. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. You're surely calling them to the straight path. But the ones who don't want to believe or don't believe in the hereafter, they have deviated from that past. This is the idea, you know, the prioritizing of this world and the ignoring or shunning of the next, that is at the core of the problem. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned something very, very interesting. He says here, وَهُوَ الَّذِي. This, you will notice there many passages here, many ayat that begin here, with وَهُوَ الَّذِي in a row. وَهُوَ الَّذِي. It is He who gives you your ears and eyes, hearts, and yet how seldom you are grateful. وَهُوَ الَّذِي ذَرَأَكُمْ. He is the one who's multiplied you on earth, meaning He allows you to flourish in the earth and you will be gathered to Him. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. He is the one who gives life and controls death and controls the alternation of night and day. Will you not understand? Will you not understand? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, well, the reason why they don't want to understand, or the reason why they reject this, is because they say what the people before them said. And this is so true. Even today, these people who are atheists and they think they're so intellectual, they say the exact same things that the people of Quraysh said, who said the exact same things that people before them said. This is nothing new here, man. Just the language has become a bit more sophisticated, perhaps. But the core of the concept is the same. قَالُوا أَيْذَا مِتْنَا. Ayah number 82. وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَبْعُثُونَ. When we have died and become dust and bones, we will be raised up again. لَقَدْ وَعِدْنَا نَحْنُ وَآبَاؤُنَا هَذَا. We and our forefathers were promised this before, but nothing has happened. These are all tales. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Very interesting. Allah says, go travel the earth. He says, who does the earth belong to and whatever is in there? Who has the one who is the Lord of the skies and the earth? Who is the one who is, sovereignty lies in His hand? Who controls the one who brought it into existence? All of this, if you acknowledge, say, يَقُولُونَ لِلَّهِ, if you acknowledge that there is a power, the one true God, this inexhaustible power that has brought all this into existence and is sustaining it, then why is it so far-fetched for you to think that He can bring someone back to life after they have died? Right? فَأَنَّا تُسْحَرُونَ. Why are you deluded by that? Why do you think this is so far-fetched and so improbable? This is a nice, retort that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings. And you can bring this same kind of argument to an atheist. And you can say, well, okay, how do you explain this? How do you explain how the universe is, if you trace it back to a point of nothingness, how do you explain that something came out of nothingness? How do you explain that logically and through the laws of physics? You have to have an explanation for it. And if you don't, and you're like this infinite universe, and it's always been like time is, endless and all that, that goes against observation, right? You are going to be compelled to acknowledge Allah. Okay, if you've acknowledged that there is a power that has brought everything into existence, why now is all of this so far-fetched? That's the crux of the argument. And you see, it's a powerful one. Okay. The Quran mentions that وَقُلْ رَبِّ إِمَّا تُرِيَنِّي مَا يُعَدُونَ. Pray to your Lord, if you should show me the punishment which they have been warned of, O Allah, Don't make me, don't include me amongst the punishment. Allah says, وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ أَن نُرِيَكَ مَا نَعِدُهُمْ لَقَادِرُونَ. We have power to show you what you, they have been warned about. But it's Allah who decides who gets punished and when they get punished. It's not the choice of a human being. What you do, O Prophet, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ السَّيِّئَةِ. You repel evil with what is best. You don't worry about the end of what these people are going to be. You don't worry about their, you know, like how are they going to be judged? And when are they going to be destroyed? No, O Prophet, you focus on what you can focus on, which is being the best. Repel evil with what is best. Not just with what is good, with what is best. This is the hardest thing to do. When someone has a bad attitude or an evil attitude or some evil actions, to turn around and treat them in the best way is the hardest thing to do in terms of interactions. Because you want naturally some sort of vengeance, some sort of fairness. But that's what the Prophet was told to do. And that is what he used to do. And that's how he won hearts. That's how he won all the hearts that he won. The people who were his enemies and fought him ended up turning into his companions and then would fight for him and would die for him. Right? And that was because he was this. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ السَّيِّئَةِ. Okay? And make dua. This is hard to make dua to help you on this process. قُلْ رَبِّ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينِ. Oh my Lord, I seek refuge in you from with the prompting of the devils. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ رَبِّ أَنْ يَحْضُرُونَ. I seek refuge with you, my Lord, lest they should come near me. This is beautiful. I want you to underline these in your Quran if you have one, please. 37 and 98. A very beautiful dua. You should make them. My Lord, I ask you to protect me from the prompting of the devils. And I ask you to protect me from them coming near me. Protect us from incitements of evil, O Allah, so that we can then repel evil with goodness. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Excuse me. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ. There's a lot of fathas in a row here. قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. When death comes to any one of them, he says, my Lord, send me back. It's a scene from a person dying. Okay? And this person is going to regret that they never made these du'as, that they never did this good, they never focused on the time they had to do something for their next life. So now they're going to say, لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتْ. So I may do good works in the world that I have left behind. Please give me another chance, O Allah. I don't want to die right now. And if I have another chance, I'm going to do lots of good deeds. Kalla. Never. إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. It is indeed but a meaningless word that he utters. It's something that is worthless. What he says is just a word he's saying. He doesn't mean it. Because he had many chances. He had many chances when he was alive to make dua, to do good, to act in a beautiful way with the people. He had many chances, but he didn't do it. A burial shall be set up behind such people to the day that they are raised again. So the day they're raised again, on that day, there is going to be no relationships, no ties of relationships, right? Family is not going to be able to protect you. What will protect you is your deeds, what you put forth. فَمَنْ ثَقُولَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. Those whose deeds will be heavy with works, good works. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. The surah is wrapping up, again bringing the idea of success back. They are the ones who are successful. And as for those whose scales are light, meaning that the evil is heavier than the good, خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فِي جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ. They have ruined their souls. The loss is theirs. No one else's. تَلْفَحُ وُجُوهَهُمُ النَّارِ وَهُمْ فِيهَا كَالِحُونَ. The fire will scorch their faces and they will abide therein forever distorted. Okay? It's not that they didn't know that this was going to be a reality. Were not my messages recited to you and did you not reject them? Right? Just, you know, you knew about this, right? This idea of hereafter and paradise and hellfire. Do you knew about this? قَالُوا رَبَّنَا غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْنَا شِقْوَتُنَا. Misfortune overcame us and we became erring people. The answer is, yeah, we knew about it. But, you know, we had bad luck. And that's why we were misguided. It was just bad circumstances. Hmm? Oh, our Lord, really, we weren't bad people, just bad circumstances. That's why, you know, we're in the wrong place in the wrong time. So, oh, our Lord, if you just deliver us now and give us another chance, and we will, فَإِنْ عُدْنَا فَإِنَّا ظَالِمُونَ, we'll do good. And then if you do bad, then you know for sure that we are wrongdoers, right? Look at this excuse. They're not, firstly, they don't say, no, we didn't know anything about this, God, why are we here? They said, they acknowledged that, yes, this is something they had known about. And in Ayah 60, Surah 67, it's going to be even more explicit. And I'll show you that when we get there. But I want to point this out. Number one, they don't deny that they didn't know anything about hellfire, or they didn't know about revelation. Tutla alaykum, right? The ayat were recited. They acknowledge by not denying it that, yes, the ayat were recited to them. Number one. Number two, they're making a very pathetic excuse, which is, we were not bad. It was just, we were just surrounded by bad people in a bad area. Just, you know, oh Lord, give us another chance. Akhrijna, deliver us. Give us one more chance, right? That's the implication. Deliver us and give us another chance. And then if we do wrong, then you know that we were wrong. Look, they're not blaming themselves. They're blaming the society around them. Do you think this is a valid excuse? You know, do you think this is going to be accepted from them? This is a reasoning that has a leg to stand on? No. قَالَ اخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ, stay there and do not speak to me. Why? Because it wasn't just evil all around you. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِي يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا, there were my servants who said, Lord, we believe, so forgive us and have mercy. You were the best one to show mercy. You knew about this. People around you were there who were worshipping Allah. But what did you do to them? What did you think of them? فَاتَّخَثُمُوهُمْ سِخْرِيًا, you made them a laughingstock. You thought they were jokers. They thought they were nothing. You looked down upon them. That's why you never entertained the thought of a purpose of life, or even the thought that maybe what they're doing is correct, because you looked down so heavily upon them that you made them into a laughingstock. Hatta ansawkum dhikri, to the point it made you forget about my remembrance. Subhanallah. Think about this. You were so arrogant and you thought that these people were so lowly that the true religion that they were practicing, you completely forgot and completely was oblivious to it, became oblivious to it. Your prejudice made you ignorant and oblivious to the true religion. And you went upon, وَكُنْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ تَضْحَكُونَ, and you went about laughing at them. Subhanallah. See, these excuses won't fly on the Day of Judgment. إِنِّي جَزَيْتُهُمُ الْيَوْمَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا أَنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ, today I have rewarded them and they are the ones who are going to be triumphant. فَائِزُونَ, the believers will be successful eventually. If not in this world, definitely in the hereafter. How long did you stay on earth? They would say, we stayed. Allah will ask them, how long did you stay on the earth? How many years? لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ, we stayed a day or part of the day. فَاسْأَلِ الْعَادِينَ, ask those who keep count. That's how short the life of the world will seem like. A day or part of a day. Think about that, brothers and sisters. قَالَ إِلَّا بِثْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, yep, you only stay for a little while. لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, if you only knew, back when you were alive, if you realized how short and how time-wise insignificant the time you spend on this earth is, that you wouldn't just put all your focus on enjoying this time right now. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ, do you think that we created you without any purpose? أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا, you're just walking around and eating, living, enjoying, being merry, and that's it. وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ, there will be no accountability, you won't be brought back to us. فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ, exalted be God from this kind of false, flawed reasoning, or this kind of flawed understanding. La ilaha illahu, he is the one who is worthy of worship, the Lord of the glorious throne. And whoever invokes a deity besides Allah, that is a person, has no proof of it, And that is a person who will not prosper. O Prophet, make dua, Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khairur rahimin. Forgive us and have mercy, O our Lord. You are the best of those who show mercy. A very beautiful surah. I encourage you to also make this dua. Underline the last ayah of this surah. And this is a dua you should make because it's a very beautiful, very powerful dua. Next surah is Surah An-Nur, the light. An-Nur means the light. And this surah speaks about that the law of Allah is a light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a light. Not light as in like photons and whatnot, but light as in He is the source of goodness and light. And He is light in a way that befits His majesty, like, Nur. Okay? But His law, the revelation He sent, is also a source of light. And that is an important understanding. The law of Allah is not just, being a good person and having humility. It actually has, rules and regulations. And following that makes you a good or a better person and makes you more humble. Because that there in that law is light. Okay? That law is, luminant. It will take you out of darkness into the best possible scenario. Okay? The introduction is, this is a surah that we have revealed and made it obligatory, meaning the rules in it are obligatory. We have sent down clear revelations in it so that you may take heed. Okay? It mentions the ruling of adultery. The adulteress and the adulterer, each one of them will be lashed 100 times. Okay? Let no pity for them cause you to disobey God if you truly believe, and let their punishment be witnessed by a number of believers. Okay, this is the ruling of adultery. All right, the ruling of adultery is actually detailed. This is the ruling of adultery for someone who is not married. Okay, someone who's not married and they commit intercourse after outside of marriage, this is their punishment. Someone who is married and cheating on their spouse, the punishment is more egregious. The punishment is actually death, and that is a and it's for the both genders. It's not for one gender or the other. It's not that the woman is punished and the man is not. No, it's both. Doesn't matter what gender you are. If you committed the crime and the crime was proven and it was something that was proven without a shadow of a doubt, only then will this punishment be enacted. If there was any doubt whatsoever, then that punishment is thrown out. Okay, why is that? Look at this. What this ayah says: "Wa yadra'u anha al-'adhab." Where is the ayah? Ayah number 8: "Wa yadra'u anha al-'adhab." Anyone accused of having committed adultery, all they say is they bear witness by Allah that they have not done it. Okay? The burden of proof is on someone else to show that they have committed this act, this immoral act. The person who is accused can just say, I didn't do it, I swear by Allah, and that's it. Okay? So any doubt whatsoever, and this person's word has to be taken on face value. And once their word is taken on face value, that's it. The punishment is warded off and they are clear in the sight of the law. That's it. They are in the clear in the sight of the law. That's it. They're not even assumed to be guilty. Okay? يَدْرَأُ عَنْهَا الْعَذَابِ. That's what this expression means. What is the burden of proof? The burden of proof is you have to have witnesses. Right? The witnesses have to be 4 witnesses. That's something a lot. We don't even like financial transactions. You need 2 witnesses to witness a marriage. You need 2 witnesses to witness a testimony, a will of estate. 2 witnesses, right? To witness breastfeeding, like establishing like a family by breastfeeding, like through nursing. You need 1 witness, the lady who did it, right? But this requires 4. Okay, why? Because the burden of proof is heavy. The burden of proof is heavy. And if you can prove it, only then should you make the claim. And if you were to make the claim without having proven it, you are defaming. And if you are defaming, you are going to be lashed. These are the laws. Now, this is actually quite intricate. There's a lot that's involved here. I'm giving you an overview, right? These laws are tough, stern laws, but they're meant to be set up as a deterrent to stop people from committing this immoral act. It's also, but the deterrents are there also to for people to use the law to defame others, to persecute others, to oppress others, okay? Particularly women. And the laws are that there's protections for everybody, only in the case where the proof is crystal clear and there is no, and the person who is guilty accepts it and they don't say, I didn't do it, I swear by Allah. Only in that case, the punishment is established. In fact, the punishment of this was established only when the person confessed. That was really historically the only time this punishment was levied out, when the person would come themselves and confess, I did this and I, you know, and I'm doing this. I would like the punishment to be established upon me. Why would they do that? Why would they come and confess their sin? You know, not sin, like confessing like the Catholics do, but confess that they have committed adultery so that the punishment can be levied upon them. The reason why is because the tawbah, the repentance, they felt so strongly about this that this punishment is going to take away the sin of my action. And now, even though this is you know a very tough thing, I am going to paradise as a sinless person. Okay, that's the only way this thing was really done in the time of the Prophet ﷺ and after the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, so this is the ruling of adultery, as mentioned in the very beginning. Why is it mentioned in the very beginning? Because there was actually an accusation that Aisha radiallahu anha, وَلَيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ, we ask Allah to, you know, purify our tongues. She was accused of having an affair. And who accused her of having an affair? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ, it was a band from among you. It was a group of people who lived in Medina who accused the Prophet's wife, his beloved wife, the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq, to having an affair, accused her of having an affair. This was one of the most difficult times in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, to experience that, to see people talking about this, to not be, to you know, like what is he to do, really, right? A very, very tough thing. But the Prophet ﷺ is reminded, لا تحسبوه شرا لكم, don't regard it as a misfortune. بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, it is good for you. And this is the thing. You see, this is what the Quran wants us to understand. There is, in difficult, tough, adverse situations, there's some good that comes out. At the very minimum, you become a better person. You are more aware than you were before. But that's just a basic thing. There's good in you in a variety of ways. But understanding this as a reality is a key part of our faith. This is what we take as a tenet of our theology. لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم. Okay. The Quran says everybody who participated in the sin will be held accountable. Okay. And the one who instigated this, والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم, the one who the greater punishment will be the one for the one who instigated this, these rumors. This was Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the head of the hypocrites. He was the one who made this accusation. He is the one who spread it. And he was the one, when he died, the Prophet wanted to pray janazah for him and ask Allah to forgive him. And he was the one, if you remember in Surah 9, the Prophet was told, don't ever pray janazah for people like that ever again. You see, the Prophet, even the man who would cause him this much pain, the Prophet still forgave him and still wanted Allah to forgive him. That was the heart of the Prophet. But this is what was the backdrop. It goes from ayah 11 to ayah 26, this whole story. In the middle of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually turns and is very stern with the believers, because the believers were gossiping about this. And Allah says, how dare you gossip about this? Why didn't you say, in hadha, qalu hadha ifkum mubin, this is a manifest slander. Why isn't there any proof? Why didn't they produce any witnesses? Why didn't you ask for that? Why were you indulging? وَلَوْلَا فَضُّ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ, had it not been for the mercy of God and His grace a terrible punishment would have afflicted you. فِيمَا أَفَضْتُمْ فِيهِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ Because you were, for what you're plunging headlong into slander. You were so consumed by it that you forgot your principles. You forgot there's a due process. We need evidence. How can you say this about the most righteous family? How can, like, you forgot about all that and you started gossip? When you would تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ You would spread it with your tongues. وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٍ You would say with your mouths that which you had no knowledge of. And you thought it was small. It just, I heard him say that. I'm saying it. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٍ But in God's sight, it was very serious. Subhanallah. Why didn't you say, this is not right for us to say this? God forbid, this is a monstrous slander. People say garbage all the time. People say slanderous thing all the time. How is it that a believer hears it and is silent in the face of it? How is that possible? You have to step up and say, this is a slander. Stop saying these things. You have to have the courage to say that. Because if you don't, people would, you know, and we see this with social media, how the fake news and falsehood spreads like wildfire. If you don't contain it, it will consume you. In هذا إلا يعيذكم الله. Allah is warning you never to repeat the like of it again if you are true believers. Brothers and sisters, this is important. We have to, God explains the commandments to you. He's all knowing and all wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like, we are required to have the courage to step up and say, this is wrong. This is uncalled for. You can't speak about these people behind their back like this. You cannot character assassinate somebody, defaming someone's chastity, all of these things, causing someone a whore, just done so casually, right? All of these things are like just outrageous. We don't accept that. We can't let that pass. We have to stop it. I have to have the courage to do so. In Surah and Ayah 23, Allah says, those who accuse chaste, unwary, believing women are cursed in this world and in the hereafter. For them awaits a terrible punishment. Accusing a chaste woman, a chaste Muslim woman, of being promiscuous is one of the gravest sins in Islam. Did you know that? It's one of the seven major sins. It's the one of the seven major sins that are mentioned in one hadith. There's there's many, many major sins that are mentioned in other hadith texts. Some say the number is 20-ish, right? But one of the ones that's mentioned famously in the narration is seven. One of those seven is this, accusing or defaming the character of a chaste Muslim woman. It's right up there, okay? And it's so severe. Look at what the Quran says. يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ On the day when their own tongues, their hands and feet shall bear witness against them about what they did. You will deny it, but your hands will speak, your feet will speak, everything will testify against you. On that day, they will know Allah is the manifest truth. He's the one who makes everything clear. SubhanAllah, this is the idea. And then, you know, in the time of social media, with kids having, you know, access to all these things and unfettered access to just a whole industry of immoral, you know, behavior, shameless behavior. I mean, the consequences are so dire. I don't even have words to describe it, of this. The way young people speak about these things so lightly, it's so dire. Maybe a topic for a discussion for another time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, clearing Aisha radiallahu anha of any accusations, that good women, وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ لِلطَّيِّبِينَ are for good men, and good men are for good women. وَالطَّيِّبُونَ لِلطَّيِّبَاتُ referencing the Prophet and Aisha, أُولَٰئِكَ مُبَرَّؤُونَ مِمَّا يَقُولُونَ They're absolved from anything that they may say. They have not, of course, she has, that's the furthest thing that you would ever think of Aisha. She's the furthest from that, from having an affair. Absolved from it completely. In fact, they have forgiveness and honorable provision. مَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. Okay, there's some rules now mentioned in this surah about other rulings about interaction, social interaction, to prevent what happened with Aisha to becoming the norm, right? Some number 27, when you enter people's homes, do so with their permission. Don't enter without permission. Don't just open the door and enter. Applies to rooms as well, by the way, right? Don't just barge into someone's room, you know, ask permission and then enter, okay? And if you are told to go away, go away. فَإِنْ قِيلَ لَكُمْ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوا. If you're told to go away, then go away. That is purer for you, okay? That's more proper, okay? Ayah number 30 mentions, and of course, you know, the exception here is if you are, it's a house that is not, you know, غَيْرَ مَسْكُونَ, it's not a house that people live in, and you have something there that you need, of course, you can enter and get it. You know, Allah knows what you're trying to do, very clearly. But the rule is set up so that you don't, you know, barge in on somebody, a woman, in her private setting. You don't want to do that, okay? That is not appropriate. So these rules are set up to do that. Lowering the gaze. Don't check out the other gender. Don't look at them longingly, lustfully. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Tell the believing men to lower their gaze and remain chaste, right? The idea of lowering the gaze is you are not, you know, examining the beauty of a woman every time you look at her. Okay? The first time you see her, you could be, you know, maybe sometimes your eyes are drawn to someone who's attractive without any, you know, almost like, almost without any agency. But once you regain some control of yourself, don't continue to, you know, examine someone physically. Okay? That is improper. That's the starting point for many troubles. That right there. So stopping that is very critical. Okay? And that is purer for them. God is aware of what they do. Then Allah mentions, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. Same thing to the women. Lower their gaze and remain chaste. You see, first Allah began with the men. They are told first. You have to do this. You can't stop, you know, checking out the women. And protect your chastity. Don't do something. Don't interact with a woman in a way that will lead you on to her. Okay, and vice versa for the women. Okay, but also for the women is the hijab. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. They should wear hijab. They should not expose their beauty except what is normally apparent thereof. And they should, this is a reference to like the face of a woman, her hands, so she can show that obviously, but the rest of her body she should cover. Okay, and the idea is the women are given this extra responsibility, not because it's the responsibility of the women only to keep the men in check or something. No, the men have to be in check themselves. Allah begins with the men. But here, women are given extra beauty. Zinatahunna. This is what Allah calls the women. They are like the women, the creation of women, or the women as a gender. They are intrinsically beautiful. They carry beauty intrinsically. Okay, illa ma dhahara minna. It appears naturally, and that's why the hijab is instituted to make that limited only to who that is appropriate or meant for, not for public consumption. Okay, who is that? You know, they can reveal their adornments to their husbands, of course. Right, that's the first in the list, and then others that are their mahram, the ones who she doesn't have to wear hijab in front of. And there's a whole list of people there: fathers, husbands, fathers, sons, husbands, sons, da 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 da. Right, many things here. A couple of interesting one, of course, is أَوِالطِّفْلِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يَظْهَرُوا عَلَى عَوْرَاتِ النِّسَاءِ. Male, children who have no casual knowledge. No carnal knowledge of women. Kids are kids. They don't understand, you know, sexuality and beauty. So in front of a young boy, a girl doesn't have to wear hijab. It's okay. Also in front of an old man, that's like a man that is أَبِالتَّابِعِينَ غَيْرِ أُولِي الْإِرْبَةِ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ. A man that is so old, he has lost the sexual desires. And this is not like a This ayah speaks about either someone who's a eunuch or someone who is so old. He's kind of like a father figure anyway for this girl. But there, in that case, there is some flexibility. Also, hijab is mentioned in... I'm going to skip to ayah 60 to show you. You know, this is for the younger... this is for women who are of a... who are not kids, right? Obviously, little girls are not required to wear hijab. But then also older women who have... وَالْقَوَاعِدُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ اللَّاتِي لَا يَرْجُونَ نِكَاحًا, who are past the age of marriage. They have reached the point where they are, you know, past a certain age. It is no sin on them if they take out their outer clothing without revealing their adornments. If they don't wear hijab, it's no sin. So you see the ayat clarify what is the ruling here. Like, what is the domain of who wears hijab? It's women of who's an adult woman. She's not a child, and someone who is with of the age of marriage, and there's an intrinsic beauty that this lady has that naturally appears. That's the lady who covers, and she covers in front of everybody except these certain group of people, and they are listed out there. There's actually a lot of logic in these rulings. There's a lot of, it's a beautiful framework. It's a protective framework. That's what this is supposed to be. Okay. It speaks about Surah Al-Nur also speaks about the topic of marriage. I'm just going to quickly show you a few ayat and then we'll conclude with that. Someone in the QA is saying, can we continue? Do we plan to continue this after Ramadan? Inshallah, we will continue after Ramadan. Brother Adil, Jazakallahu khairan for your kind words. What is the idea of marriage? Ayah number 32. Marry those among you who are single, and those of your male and female slaves who are fit for marriage. If they are poor, God will provide for them from His bounty, for God's bounty is infinite and He is all-knowing. As for those who don't have the means to get married, should keep themselves chaste until God grants him out of His bounty. Okay, this is a very important ayah. And then there's the next part is about the institution of slavery, and there's a lot of detail there. I'm going to, you know, not going to have the time to unpack this, but I want to just point out this part, that marry those who are single among you. Okay, this is an important thing. This should be proactively done to help people get married, because these desires that we have are natural, and there has to be a acceptable way to fulfill them, and marriage is that acceptable way. And if they are poor, God will provide them. Don't worry so much about the money. Be responsible. Be, you know, hardworking, and Allah will take care of it. Okay. In previous cultures, slaves were considered to be like completely like garbage, you know. But here in Islam, even if Islam doesn't outright ban slavery, the slaves are considered like family. Okay. If a person has a slave, the slave is like a family member. And that slave then is, you know, you're to take care of them as well and consider that they have human needs as well. So have them get married too. This is also something that you actually will not find any precedence for in any other culture or any other religion. This is a very interesting and unique aspect about Islam. Of course, slavery has a lot of interesting things that we don't have time to cover right now, but it is something that I wanted to show. There's the ayah of light, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard, a very beautiful ayah. Okay, I'm going to read this inshallah and then conclude with the end. God is the light of the heavens and the earth. His light may be compared to a niche containing a lamp, the lamp inside a crystal of star-like brilliance, lit from a blessed olive tree, neither of the east nor the west. The luminous oil is as if ready to burn without even touching it, without even fire touching it. Light upon light, God guides to His light whomever He wills, and He draws such comparisons from mankind, and He has full knowledge of all things. Here, the example of Allah is given, the light of Allah is given like, it's like an old school lantern, and that it has a niche inside of it. And inside of it is a misbahu fi zujaja. Zujaja ka anha kawkab. That the inside this niche is so loose, okay? And it's not actually lit with a heat emitting light. It's so luminant, just the oil of it is illuminating things around. And this oil is la sharqiyya wa la gharbiyya. You know, people of the East can claim it. People of the West can claim it. It's for all times. It's for all people, okay? And it's so luminant, it doesn't even need a fire to light it up, okay? The idea here, the image, this is a deep image. But the parable here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the source of light for all, okay? And his light, unlike, say, like the light of the sun, which could be hurtful, is not hurtful. It is gentle. And it is luminant and bright and unprecedented, okay? And that is the example Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Wallahu a'lam. He mentions about that believers, they are the ones who exude his light. Okay, ayah number 37. They are the ones who they are not distracted by trade. لا تلهيهم تجارتهم ولا بيعون عن ذكر الله. They are the ones who show what the light of Allah means. But the ones who are disbelievers, who deny the truth, they are in darkness, right? كظلمات في بحر اللجي, ayah 40. A deep ocean covered by waves, billowing over waves, overcast with clouds, darkness upon darkness, right? This is the idea that is there. The surah concludes by saying that the messenger of Allah, following him is a light. Following him is a light. Ayah number 63. لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. Do not treat being called by the messenger like being called by one another. God knows those of you who slip away on some pretext. Let those who go against his order, let them beware lest some affliction befall them or they receive a painful punishment. Ala inna lillahi ma fi samawati wal ard. Surely whatever is in the heavens and on the earth belongs to God. He knows well what condition you are in. And on the day when they return to him, he will declare to them all what they have done, and he is fully aware of all things. Surah Furqan is at the end of the surah, which just we will cover that inshallah tomorrow because we want to keep the whole surah together. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. Jazakumullah khairan. I'll see you all tomorrow, same time, same place. We are planning on continuing these lessons afterwards as well. I'm going to send out a small poll shortly, inshallah, about when we should, start, what are the days that people would like to have these lessons on, inshallah. So keep an eye out for that. Thank you again. I'll see you all tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.